What a blessing. What a wonderful blessing. The subject I picked for us today, to ponder and consider, is this phrase. How shall we be remembered? You as an individual, how will you be remembered? That's for all of us to consider. When a name is remembered, does it bring a smile to your face? Yeah, I see some. I see some smiles when they remember a certain name. Does it bring a certain sort of happiness to you when you remember that name? Fond memories, maybe? A sort of genuine comfort, if you will, when that name is remembered? Or does it bring remorse? You know, some of us who've been employed way back, that here comes old John. Oh, you know that feeling. You don't remember him well because he does not bring you comfort, does not bring joy. But that's how that person will be remembered. He sort of brings a dismal disposition as soon as they come into the room. You know who we're talking about. They exist. But that's how they're going to be remembered. Remember the phrase in Scripture, Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? John 1, verse 46. Why was that a thing? Nathanael remembered that village or that city as being in that kind of condition. Can anything good come out of there? And there's no doubt that probably running through your minds right now, there's a lot of cities within this world you could ask the very same question. But what should be remembered? There's a lot more important matters to consider than the day-to-day items that we go through, things that we would like to remember. For example, where are the car keys? You probably went through that this morning. Or did I lock the doors when you left? Did I take my medicine? You know, those things, yeah, we like to remember, but there are things more important than that, if you will. Something really important that should be remembered. Here's someone's gravestone. I don't know if his name is really John Yeast. But do you want to be remembered for that? Hopefully we won't. In the scripture reading.
Oh, that did come out very good.
I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. See, it's not limited just to this building, as some would, I guess, profess or believe. It's for all the saints.
I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Active.
Action verb. It means getting involved, doing your part, rolling up your sleeves, doing things that are not within your comfort zone. Why? Because God wants to remember you as a good and faithful servant.
That is what you want to hear. Hopefully that's what you want to hear. That when Christ judges each and every one of us, and that day is coming, one day closer, it is true. Despite how you may feel about it, we will be judged. And God remembers everything. Everything that is hidden. Everything that is secret. He knows. He knows. Let's continue reading once again what the scripture says here for our benefit, for our learning. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. How would you like to be remembered like that? Oh, yeah. That is a beautiful way. That's a good place to start. There are many places to start, but that's a good one. Right there. It can be done. It's right there. I believe we all would like to be remembered well. How wonderful it is when someone remembers you in their prayers by name. And we know in this room right here that prayer has been answered on behalf of our brothers and sisters. We know that because they are still here. How about being remembered for your faith? How about being remembered for your love? How about being remembered for the love for all the saints, no matter where they are in the world? Even God would like to be remembered. I'm sorry, the print came out so small. It states there, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. I'm going to pause right there. Obviously, that affects people in different ways. But some people have that awe, that wonder for different things. The birth of a child, they are just so moved with what was just done. People see that in the sunshine as it comes over the sky. Some people see that in the trees, how they bud and they flower. In the kindness of other people. In the love from other people. It's a wonderful thing to be remembered like that. And we know that God created everything just by his spoken word. If anything, again, he does, we need to remember what we see, what we have, it's because of him. And remember that. His wonders to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him.
Comma. Okay, let's pause. God provides. Period. But listen to what the word said.
Who fears him? He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever holy and awesome in His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. Remember His wonders. Remember who made all the creation, and shouldn't He be remembered with thanksgiving for what He has done, for what He is doing, and for what He will do? With all your heart, not some of it, but all of it. All of your heart. His righteousness endures forever. Shouldn't that bring a smile to your face? Shouldn't that change you for the good? It should bring a smile to your face, a joy to your heart, because it puts a purpose in your life. Have we taken His wonders for granted? Yes. Yes, we have. Shame on us. Shame on us. Rain, the wind, mountains, whales, hummingbirds. What a dichotomy! What God made! A whale, a hummingbird? He did it! We praise Him, because He's the only one that could do it. The created things all around, we are privileged to see, and we should be in awe. The trees, the flowers, the works of His hands are faithful and just. Okay. I'm sorry that the print came out small. So,
then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus He overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early in the next morning, Abraham got up, returned to the place where he stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, He remembered Abraham. And He brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. So what comes to your mind when you hear that city name, Sodom and Gomorrah? These are cities destroyed. A glimpse of God's mighty directed power. Some people may remember it as just a fairy tale. It's just a story. Or do you remember it is as God's truth as it is written in the Scriptures? That if it's written there, it happened. If God did not hold back, because He was fed up with the sin in that city, He will do it again. And He did. He wiped out the world with the flood. What if you saw what was left of the city? What if you could just go down the road and see what was left? Would it change your mind about God? Would it change your attitude? Would you draw closer to Him? Would you fear Him? Would you acknowledge that He is God? Would you remember his mighty works if you saw the city? Do we need to remember that it matters where you live? God remembered Abraham. Wouldn't it be good for God to remember you by name? To take you out when you need to get out? But how will you be remembered right now? If God was to come right now, how will you be remembered right now? Think about it. Well, for those who want to see the picture, Mrs. Foley, what's left? The site is still being excavated to this day. And what they have found when they went there is that the sulfur balls which came out of heaven are still in, some of it is still embedded in the dirt and in the clay. It is so pure. That sulfur balls is so pure that when it does burn, it burns hot. It burns so hot that they imagine when they looked at that whole area, if they didn't burn up, they died from asphyxiation. And also the sulfur smell. That was just. But again, if you need to see Sodom and Gomorrah existed, there it is. What's left of it? It's something like Doubting Thomas's. Some people just need to see. Here we go. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and led them safely out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." How is Lot's wife remembered to this day? Someone who obeyed. Was it someone who obeyed what she was told? Or did she even remember those three words? Don't look back. Did she think it was merely a suggestion? Did she think, surely that message wasn't meant for me? We don't know what was in her mind. But what we do know, what we remember, is that she disobeyed. And she looked back. Yeah, we will never know why she looked back when they were all told not to look back. Seems to be easy instructions, right? We have this written for our benefit of what happens when someone doesn't obey. There are some who still believe it was a so-called innocent mistake. Well, let's look at another of God's instruction that was not obeyed, and let's read what happened to him. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it up from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart. When the ark of God on it and Ahio was walking in front of it, David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, cisterns, cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nakun, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark. Because the oxen stumbled, the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died beside the ark. How is Uzzah to be remembered? Someone who meant well? Someone who acted spontaneous? Someone who, as Scripture stated, irreverent? How will he be remembered? We can know this for sure. The Lord's anger burned against him, and that is not how we want to be remembered, is it? Do we want to be irreverent to God in any capacity, in any stretch of the imagination? You make that decision each and every day. You do. You decide what you're going to do. You decide if you're going to love the Lord wholeheartedly and do your best. But to be irreverent, it's written here for our learning. It matters how we act or even react. Let's turn to Scripture and learn how others in the Bible will be remembered. Excuse me.
Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." The widow's offering. How do you remember her? Is it for her faith? Is it for her trust? Is it for her love for the Lord? Would she be remembered for her wanting to please the Lord? Maybe remember her for her understanding as to who has provided for her. Second Corinthians, there we go.
We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed.
Should we remember this scripture? Does that not fit today? Our existence, as if you will, the environment. Do you believe the widow might have felt this way in her life? Do you sometimes feel that way in your life right now? Will you be remembered for folding under the pressure or standing up under the pressure? Your choice. Always been. You choose. You'll be able to give everything that you have, like the example of her. Would you not only know this verse, but would you believe this verse to be helpful in your life? Do you want to be remembered for having a negative or a positive disposition? How do you reflect Jesus right now? How do you reflect him? How do people see you, remember you? How will you be remembered? Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him weeping,
She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is teaching him and what kind of woman she is, but she is a sinner." Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he has been forgiven little who loves little." But Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." How will she be remembered? For her sins or for her act of love? That was her act of love toward the Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our Savior. He is the same man who died for each and every one of us. Every one of us. In your sins. How much do you love Him? This is just an example of compassion on her part. Would it be unnerving to you to see someone love Jesus deeply with that kind of emotion? How would you react when someone's loving compassionately, honestly? Do you pull back? Are you condemning? Are you judging? Or are you being moved because someone can love like that, and that we should love like that? Deeply, genuine, with emotion, because she knew her state, as we should know our state. We're sinful. Christ is and always has been the answer. But she did not hold back to reveal that. She loved deeply. What about the Pharisee who invited Christ? How will he be remembered? Will he be remembered for all the things he did not do? He did not provide water. Did not give him a kiss. A kindness. That's what we're asking. It's showing here. A kindness. Being hospitable. Didn't put oil on the head, the custom of those times. And it's a possible way. Was that his way of showing a disregard to Christ? Is that how you act? We act? Is that how we'll be remembered? How will we be remembered? One who shows great love to our Lord, even to the point of embarrassment? Or do we show neglect to our Christ? The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Will we be remembered for having honesty and integrity? A high school girls' basketball team was in the last minutes of the game when a so-called buzzer beater went in the basket, making them the league champions for the very first time in their history. But the coach felt something was amiss. A gut feeling. He felt that something wasn't right. So he took the game tape home and reviewed each basket and confirmed that the count on the scoreboard was incorrect. The other team had won by 1 point. According to the league rules, once the game is done, it's done. The score is the score. But the coach called the team together and informed them of his findings, that the other team had earned 1 point that wasn't counted. Technically, they won. But legally, they won according to the league rules. The team unanimously decided to give the trophy to the other team. So they had to appeal the league board against themselves, if you will, for those are the rules. They couldn't appeal to the league against the other team because the other team did no wrong. They had to appeal to the league, hey, we want you to relook this. The board agreed. But the board said they had never had an appeal sent against their own team. Usually it's against the other team. And the board agreed to let them give the trophy to the team that actually won. One of the team members stated it like this. If they would have kept the trophy, every time that I would have looked at the trophy, knowing what I know, it would have only cheapened the victory. The coach and the team will be remembered for having integrity and honesty. And the other team has received what was duly earned. That's a modern example of how Christians should conduct themselves with integrity and honesty. And we see what the scripture says about people with that character and about people who don't have that character. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I don't think you want to be remembered like that. Could you be remembered like that? That's the question. That's what we need to come to terms with. When we go see our Maker, what will He remember about you? Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus.
Let's close with this.
Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, that would be us, you who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. Thank God he remembers us. That's the lesson, and we're going to offer the invitation. An opportunity to come to the Lord, to make resolution, to make things right with him while we have the opportunity. But if you've not ever been baptized, you also have that opportunity too, to make it right with the Lord before it's too late. You got to hear the gospel, the good news, believe the gospel, that everything written is from God. That is his word. And his word is to be followed. Repent of past sins. Confess Christ as the Son of God, as our Savior. And be buried with him in baptism, and then continue steadfast in the teachings and doctrines that we have in Scripture. So if anyone has any needs or wants or desires, now is the opportunity. Let us all come and stand and sing.